of you talk on your phone on speakerphone in public like it's toast. We're going to ground you up into nuggets. Welcome to Discovering Star Trek.
There's this thing that the millennials call hype.
Hype?
Yeah. That's what I'm doing. I'm hyping it up.
Hey, I'm all for it. Let's hype. Let's get some Discovering Star Trek hype.
Welcome to the Thunderdome. This is Discovering Star Trek.
Welcome to Season 1, Episode 11 of Discovering Star Trek. This week we're discussing the original series episode, A Mock Time, where Spock goes crazy and has to swim upstream to a spawning ground. And eventually kills Kirk over a woman, but then doesn't want her. We see T'Pau at the other end of her life. And we see Nurse Chapel cry because she's in love with Spock. And McCoy's just happy to be there. He's just honored to be around. Let's set course for Vulcan. Or Altair 6. Or, no, Vulcan. and discover some Star Trek. Yeah. All right, so what did you think? We haven't discussed this one out. Usually we have a little bit of, hey, did you like it? Did you not? And I've heard zero discussion from you two guys on this episode. I'm interested in your take.
This is 100 years after basically humans have known Vulcans and first contact, all that stuff. This has never come up before?
Apparently not.
It was like something you think they would brief people on. Also, if you're a logical society, right, don't you just like say, okay, well, at some point in my life, I have to go back to Vulcan or I'm going to die. It's logical that I tell everyone about it. So, like,
yeah, it's true. And now Spock does mention that he hoped it wouldn't happen. So maybe it's not a 100% thing. Maybe it's just one out of every 1,000 Vulcans happens.
Well, I think he thought it would be...
Because he's half human.
Because he's half human. Yeah. I think that's why he thought he wouldn't mock.
It just seems like that you need to prepare for that a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that's in your initial interview as first officer. It's like, eventually I'm going to be like a salmon.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to go back.
Side note, listen, different species. There's like a 2-week period where I'm just going to have to like... GTFO, no matter what's going on.
Right.
And they skipped that part.
Yeah.
And then he didn't explain
that's very personal.
Anything at all.
So I get not explaining it.
Sure.
I don't get Kirk not being informed. So, and the reason I say that is, like, they went down this path where they were like, oh, yeah, when you get a mocked, right, then... your logic just goes out the window and your brain turns to mush. Is pretty much like the route they went. So I understand Spock not explaining it to Kirk at that point. But prior to that, I thought it was super far-fetched that Spock wouldn't have just been like, you know, there's a possibility. Like, might as well. All the dumb crap that Spock tells Kirk that makes no... like, has no relevance, or has some relevance, but isn't stuff he wants to hear about, I feel like this would have come up already. You know? Like, it would have been like, okay, yeah, this, you should know about this.
Or you just have, like, some contingency plan where it's like a box where it's just like, hey, in case of loss of logic, break this.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you what to do. Or maybe just start with, hey, I've got to go back to Vulcan or I will literally die. But instead it's like, I really just want to go back to Vulcan and I'm going to start undermining all of your decisions.
Also,
I'm basically going to steal the ship.
I'm going to hold a knife like behind my back while I'm like shaking.
It's all I can do to keep from murdering you, Captain.
Right!
Will you please understand?
Yeah, that was weird, man. So,
okay, so setting that aside.
Yes.
The because this is like one of the top 10 episodes, usually in polls.
Really?
And it was one of Roddenberry's favorite episodes. So setting aside the logic of how this fits in with the greater Trek continuity and that they should have known that this is going to happen, if you put all that aside, just the story of Spock going through Ponfar and having to go from there, how do you feel about the actual story without all the other continuity?
It was really interesting that basically what they said is like, all right, we did the whole mind meld with this other girl when we were kids, so that one day when I go into Vulcan heat, then mm-hmm. I'm just going to have to go back, and then she'll either decide she wants me or she'll have me fight somebody for her. Because even also, in that logical society, women are still property.
Which also mm-hmm. makes no sense, because it's like, oh, I'm not sure that this is going to happen to me, but I already did all the precursor stuff so that I'm going to have to do it one day.
Well, I don't think he had a choice. He was a kid. You know, Sarek is making him do all that
stuff. That's true.
But if you believe strongly enough to do all that stuff, you might as well believe that it's going to happen to you. It's kind of like, I jumped off a cliff, I didn't expect I'd hit the bottom.
Like, I got dunked in the baptismal ceremony in at the Baptist church when yeah. I was like 11. I don't go to a Baptist church now.
But you're yeah. good.
But if you walked up to me and said, like, hey, I've been baptized, you think it'd be weird if I expected you to be a Christian?
Well, I mean, if you say I've been baptized, then, yeah, you would expect... You say that to someone, the expectation is that you're a Christian.
Right, so if he went through the ritual, shouldn't right. he expect to have to finish it out?
That's just the expectation. That's not necessarily reality.
Your logic is sound, James.
I think so.
Is it time for your
But it's different. I think it's different if you, like, set something in motion. So, like, what you're saying is, hey, I got baptized. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, I don't think you're comparing apples to apples.
I'm just saying there's plenty of people that were baptized and were forced to do things by their parents when they were young, just mm-hmm. like T'Pring and Spock, that later don't hold those same beliefs at all.
Yeah, but this is not a belief. This is like that's a true. Biological reaction, right?
That part
that,
is
That's
true.
Why I liken it more to, like, you jumped off a cliff mm-hmm. and then you didn't expect you'd hit the bottom.
Well, he's half human. Right. You know, there was an...
He half expected that to happen.
Half expected.
All right, so let's go through it. The episode starts with McCoy being worried about Spock.
Because Spock threatened to murder him. Right. It's like, that seems a little out of character for Spock.
He threatened Kirk's to like, I'm break sure my you're neck. Overreacting. I'm sure you're overreacting, Dr. McCoy. And about that time...
He flipped out over the soup that Nurse Chapel gave him.
He throws the Pyong soup, or whatever they call it. The Plomeek soup.
That's because it's rude for a woman to give a man soup if it's not her man.
Who knew that the Vulcan society was so misogynistic?
Right! It started as like, it's not proper.
Right, and then the woman is 100% property. Now, she does get to, like, make them fight for her, so there's, mm-hmm. she has some power there. I mean, she had to go through these crazy machinations in order to have a choice of mate.
It was really dramatic. Mm-hmm. But they did say this is like the ritual from, it's just never been changed. This is the way it's always been. So it's, you know, thousands of years old.
So then Kirk agrees, okay, we'll go to Vulcan. But then they get the call from Starfleet. No, can't go to Vulcan, got to go to Altair.
Got to come back immediately. And you got to get there. It's like 2 or 3 days early they want
to
start.
And then Spock changes the coordinates without telling Kirk, so they're going back to Vulcan. And then Kirk's like, no. And Chekhov has to put it back to Altair 6.
I did love their
Then Kirk's like, exchange. Okay, no, we really are going to Vulcan. Yeah, and Sulu and Chekhov have a good little moment there. It reminded me a lot of the two guys in the Orville. I feel like that's the kind of scene that they pull those two characters' yep. humor from.
They also reminded me of the people from Deep Space Nine that beamed yes. onto the Enterprise. Yes. Like their dynamic.
Chief O'Brien and Dr. Bashir.
Yeah.
And I wish there was more of that in the original series, the Sulu-Chekhov buddying up.
So there is, I think, more of it in the movies.
There is.
They focus on, I wouldn't call it a relationship, but right. their interactions a little more.
Eventually, they're 100% going to Vulcan. And
so the way they decide that is like, Kirk goes in and is talking to Spock, and he's like, hey, why do we need to go to Vulcan? And Spock's like, I'm not going to tell you. And then it's like, I really just need you to tell me something.
So you gotta give me something.
I know where we're going is not really important, so I'll just divert it. If you just say anything, just say like, man, I gotta use the bathroom.
Like,
man,
give me
I
an
gotta,
excuse.
I gotta touch a Vulcan rock. Like
that's one of the things that's well known in my house, like when the kids don't want to go to school.
Yeah.
You know, Lucy is not good at lying, which is great. She can't lie.
Okay.
And so when she just doesn't want to go to school, that's what she says. I don't want to go to school. I said, you got to give me more than that. See, I can't just let you stay home for you not wanting to go. And she'll be like, okay, my stomach hurts. I said, there you go. That's all I need. Go back to bed.
Right. Because then you could go back and be like, yeah, she said her stomach hurts.
Right. Exactly.
I don't want to go to school. I've got a 30-minute orthodontic appointment at 8 a.m. this morning, so right. I can't make it.
Yeah, well, that's not even a question.
That's a doctor excuse.
That's a doctor excuse. So, but that's basically what Kirk was was saying to Spock, just give me something. And so Spock finally does. I'm like a salmon. Like, okay, we'll go to Vulcan.
And then the way he does this, like, it's a biology thing.
And then there's this awkward conversation. The birds and the bees do it.
Yeah. And he's like, a reproductive biology thing? And he's just like, yeah.
Did you feel that was a bit of a leap from it's biological to reproductive biology?
Right. Well, you know where Kirk's mind always is. So that's fine.
So the scene felt weird, but I mean, not really. Right? Like, what other biology thing is going to be on or on your home planet that you have to go there?
True.
For, I mean,
to touch a Vulcan rock,
so that you don't die. Already. Yeah, it's still biology. But I mean, I just
got to go home and connect to the home network to pull in your.
He's got
to
change his password.
Got to get a
plugged change. Into the blue wire to change your password. And really, the episode doesn't get going until they get to Vulcan. All the stuff before that seemed very slow to me, and maybe it's just because I've seen it so many times. And I
how many times have you seen this episode?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I'm at least a dozen.
Well, they had to do the slow build up, the anticipation. It's like,
I was just waiting and waiting and
why
waiting.
Why is Spock so angry and all that? And then eventually McCoy does do his examination. He's like, oh yeah, he's actually going to die in like, I don't know, 6 days. How far away are we going again? 7 days away? Okay, yeah, we can't do that anymore. Yeah.
I watched this episode with my little sister, and Jessica mostly was just like not paying much attention to it. Like, I kind of played on her phone. But at one point, she, like, looks up, and so they're on the bridge, and I think Uhura is in there. She's putting the big, like, telephone-sized Bluetooth thing in her ear.
Yeah.
And so she sticks that in, and Jessica, like, looks up, and she's like, what's wrong with their faces? And it's something I didn't really notice until she pointed out. She's like, did they only have one light in their light crew? Like, because it's just like everyone's face is in shadow. The whole episode is just like darkness. Like, you see like a little sliver of their eye. It was very interesting hearing her technical theater perspective of it, right? Because she's like, you know, like, what's wrong with this? I was like, they probably did only have one light. The other thing is she kind of shared a sentiment that I have where it's like, that's wrong by today's standards.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, like, just watching it, I'm willing to accept it the way that it is. It's like, that's entertaining. So, it's very cool.
And it's interesting, going back to Trials and Tribulations, that without that acceptance, without that, oh, this isn't right by our standards, but I'm going to accept it, you never could have put those two episodes together for Deep Space Nine of doing the mashup for the original series.
It's cool.
And the fact that that works is just a testament to the old series, and they did the best they could, and probably just have one giant halogen light.
big light. One giant.
The other thing, she was like kind of infatuated with the outfits, and she was like, "When did this show come on TV?" Since she had some, she knows
or the Vulcan outfits,
the Starfleet outfits, okay. And she's like, wow, they were really progressive. Like, see how short that skirt was? Yeah. And I was like, I'm not sure that was progressiveness.
That was the style of the time. That was the style of the time.
Yeah.
And then she looked up, because she wanted to, do like a FemSpot cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, okay, I'm going to look up outfits. And she's like, wow, the outfits from the original series are shorter and more risque than the other series.
Well,
and so,
especially Discovery. You know, every episode, every series seems to want to do some sort of fan service. Voyager introduced Seven of Nine, the sexy Borg. And, of course, Deep Space Nine, they've got Jadzia, and, you know, there's fan service in that.
Famously, Next Generation.
You know, you've got Counselor Troy with her scoop neck. And also episodes like that one where it's just scantily clad women running at full speed is the alien world.
Well, they're very even. They did it with the guys, too. So.
Yeah, well, they did.
It's fine as long as it's, you know.
But in Discovery, really, the only risque stuff in Discovery, up until the final episode when we got to the
Kronos.
To Kronos and whatever that enclave was.
The
Orion colony.
Yeah.
Up until that point, the most risque thing had been the sex scene with Laurel.
You get to see Lorca shirtless a couple times.
The original series set a tone for fan service and whatnot, but it may have done it better than anyone else.
So I thought that was very interesting, like hearing how impressed she was. And like, hey, wow, they were pretty progressive with their costume design.
That's cool. It's funny that that scene is progressive, you know?
Yeah.
Because it could be seen exactly the opposite from progressive. It could be seen as objectifying.
So the other thing I think they do really well in the original series is, yes, it is kind of objectifying, but in the show itself, they never really acknowledge it, right? So it's not like, as far as what I've seen, like there's no joke about, like, man, that girl's butt looks great. Or
right. Deep Space Nine did it, but the original series.
But the original series, just like, they just did it. That was the norm, right? And like, they have some scenes where like there's a dude wearing a dress, and there's some scenes where there are women wearing the men's uniform, like that kind of stuff. So it made it feel very, at least from my perspective, which is not a lot of episodes, but it feels very empowering, right? Because they're not, like, specifically objectifying them in the show. It's just, like, maybe that's your perception after the fact. All right, so they make it to Vulcan.
They make it to Vulcan, and we meet...
A direct violation of their orders. Because Kirk even, like, goes to the guy, which I think this was stupid. I don't want to talk about this. Kirk calls his admiral, or whatever. It's like, yeah, we're gonna go to Vulcan. And I was like, nah, you're gonna go wherever. And instead of being like, yeah, but I left my watch on Vulcan, we're going there, he's just like, but I really want to go to Vulcan. Like, he doesn't give them a good excuse or anything.
They're saying the same thing to him that he said to Spock. Just give me something, Kirk.
Right. But at this point, McCoy has already told Kirk, like, hey, if we don't go to Vulcan, he's gonna die.
Right.
So he's like, you would call him and be like, hey, one of our crew members is deathly ill.
And the only place he can get that treatment
is Vulcan.
Right.
and the guy'd be like, well, that's kind of weird. Maybe you should send one of your shuttles to Vulcan with Spock on it. But they didn't have any discussion like that. It was just like, nah.
It's also weird they just didn't have any other shuttles or anything on the ship. It's just...
Well, it didn't serve the story, I guess.
The Enterprise.
It needed to get the big three down on Vulcan. So all three of them would have had to take the shuttle. So why do that? Yes, that was... And in fact, one of my questions, but we can go ahead and talk about this now, was comparing Kirk's decision-making in this episode to Picard's decision-making in Rightful Heir when Worf had a similar, I need to go to my home world for a religious reason. I mean, they both came to the same conclusion. Yes, you need to go. Picard was like, okay, go take a shuttle. We're going to go about our business. Kirk is like, all right, we're all going.
Well, you know, that's
it's also the difference is they were like on a time-sensitive mission versus in TNG. It was just kind of like, hey,
we're just cruising around.
We're doing stuff over here. You can go do your thing for
we're
a while. Just hop in
the
you hop in your ship and go do your thing, and we'll be over here. You just come back later.
But it seems like that would be a better argument for Picard saying, well, hey, let's just all go. Anyway, I thought it was interesting, the similarity. And
yeah, the resolution did seem like there could have been an easier way to do it. You just go to Vulcan, you beam him off, and you fly the starship to the other planet.
Which I think was what they were trying to do.
Right.
Is that's what he tried to bring. It was like, yeah, we'll just stop there, and then we'll come. We'll only be at most 2 days behind. So they go down to Vulcan to... Was that, like, Spock's family land, where they just had, like, their... Yeah.
And there was a Shrikar, I think is the name of the city that was in the background.
Yeah.
Now, that wide shot of them walking across the little land bridge and all that was new CGI.
Okay, and that's all new. I was about to say, because I was like, that looked pretty cool.
In the original, they beamed down, and then they looked to their left, and that opening to walk through... I mean, they beamed down just right beside the thing, and they walked into it.
Okay. Which, I mean...
But it gave it a little
perspective.
More majesty.
Yeah, it makes it be like, oh, this is actually like a ritual ground.
It's cool for a scene, but realistically, if you have beaming technology, why would you beam yourself like...
Anywhere but where you're going.
Like, hey, we need to go over there. All right, I'll beam you 100 yards to the left of that. Have fun walking.
It's like, I don't want to see that a Vulcan see that you dropped me off here.
Yeah. Spock rings the giant green gong.
Which had a really weird sound.
That was,
it was a sex gong.
Certainly sex gong. Dubbed in later. That piece of set did not make that noise.
So we get to that point, and so this is the last thing I'll bring up to Jessica said, but she's like, oh. And we all kind of like look at her, like, what, Jessica? She's like, look at the lighting. And I was like, wait, what are you talking about? That was a red sheet in the background with bar lights behind it. And she's like, I can tell. I was like, I can see it. And as soon as she pointed out, I see it. Like, but as soon as she pointed out, I was like, oh, I can see that too. But you can actually see, it looks like atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually where the bar, like where the light is reflecting off of it.
Well, I've never noticed that. So they must have done a pretty good job.
That's interesting. So it's very cool. But she was like, she knew instantly.
When we watch stuff now, it's usually on much larger TVs. Mm-hmm. Back then, it's like, oh yeah, this probably looked absolutely incredible on my 12-inch TV.
I had that thought when it was when the stunt doubles were fighting for Kirk and Spock, and it was so obvious that the guy was not Kirk. Did you notice that the stunt double at all?
Not even a little.
Really?
It was an excellent fight scene.
It was. But yeah, he said, okay, before we get to the fight scene, so T'Pring and T'Pau and Sean.
Sean.
T'Shawn. Whatever, they all come out. And so this is the same T'Pau as last week.
I even had a moment, I was like, oh, that's T'Pau! And they're like, what does that mean?
It's the same T'Pau, but what must have happened between
Queen T'Pau, Forge,
and
she's like Empress. And Emma she's getting carried around.
But it completely changed her accent, even? Did she
overthrow the government. Plus, you don't have to worry about the argument you're trying to make. You see where you're coming from, but they have Katras.
Right.
So you could just like beam T'Pau into another person's head, and then you just let her take over,
In this scene, I love the McCoy and Kirk just like peanut gallery in the bag.
Yeah.
They're looking around, it's like, wow, what do you think he's doing here? It's like, I don't really know. It's like,
you think it could take him?
Yeah. I don't know. Are these other people going to come in here too? It's like, yeah.
So I do have to imagine, I would probably react about the same way. It's like, isn't this some kind of weird sex ritual? Yeah. Like, why is he inviting people?
I would really like you guys to stay here. It's like, okay.
why are there 50 people coming in for this?
Well, I think they were approaching him more as a wedding. And Kirk is the best man, and obviously that's what they were thinking was about to happen.
Yeah.
Not a fight to the death.
It was extremely obvious. Like, as soon as they came in and they had swords, it was like, well, they're going to fight. And obviously it's like, who are you going to choose to fight? It's like, obviously she's going to pick Kirk. Like, it was almost painful to watch because it's like, you just knew. And then it's like, okay, I guess I'll fight. It's like, you're definitely going to have to kill him. One of you is going to kill somebody. That's the only way this is going to go.
And I was
it's
like,
just like, lined up.
So they come in and they basically start the ritual. And it gets to the point where the chick's like, no, we're not going to ring this, you know, sex gong or marriage gong or whatever this is. She's like, nah, we're not doing this. There's going to be a fight. And then she chooses Kirk, and then T'Pau's like, oh, do you accept? He's like, I can't say no. This is T'Pau.
It's T'Pau. Don't want to look like a
pansy in front of the leader.
He never once says, like, what am I agreeing to right now?
Or if I decline, what happens? Yeah. It'll be someone else, or you just kill Spock off.
And I think they even said near the end, it's like, oh, well, if he chooses not to do it, then we'll just pick the other person.
Right.
So like, doesn't even seem like it would have been that big of a deal.
But yeah, at some point, I'd be like, all right, well, what are the rules to this game? You have to do this.
How does this work? Do I have to go?
Because they even bring up, it's like, oh, yeah, he's an outsider. They don't know our rituals.
Yeah.
And
so what if it was like, oh, I pick Kirk. Okay, Kirk marries Spock's wife now.
Well, she had all that figured out. If Kirk won, he wouldn't want her. And if Spock won, he would be, you know, in Federation jail.
Can't decline in front of T'Pau.
So interestingly, they say the Vulcans have all this logic, but it's very interesting because, and I don't know if they mean to do this, but it's almost like they have linear logic where it's like once they figure out a solution, there's no point in coming up with any other solution. So it's almost like, I don't know, I think like a human plays through scenarios in their heads. Like, well, if I do this, then this is going to happen. Do this, maybe that'll happen. It's like once a Vulcan finds a solution that ends in the logical outcome they want, they're done thinking about any other possibilities. Like, there may be a better solution.
Well, I think that's, and this has been discussed around Star Trek for years, that one of the big differences between the original series and later shows is that in the original series, the first idea you have, whatever comes up, the first thing you have is what they go with. All right, it may be a stupid idea.
Yeah,
but it's the first one we've got, so that's the rest of the episode.
The more that we've been like watching Vulcans and all the stuff they do, I'm starting to realize that I don't think Vulcans are actually that logical. Like, yes, they're smart. They're like human calculators. They're very exact with their measurements and stuff. But whenever it comes to them actually making logical decisions, I think they're like, just pops like, oh, we're so logical.
They're arrogant.
We make logical decisions. But they're actually arrogant. Just not.
Yeah. Well, and the only way I can reconcile that is with what I was just explaining.
Yeah.
Which is that once they come up with a solution that has the outcome they want, there's no point in thinking about anything else. That I think that is their, that is why they're the way they are in my mind. It's just like, oh, figured out if I make this complicated fight thing, then I'll get what I want.
See, and it's interesting to me because I didn't plan this. This isn't me incepting anyone, but
that's what he says right before he puts stuff
here's
in
the inception. It's happening
single time.
It's fascinating to me that it sounds like we go through the Klingon episodes.
Yeah,
and there was some surprise about, well, I kind of like the Klingons.
Yeah.
More than I thought.
They're a lot more logical and a lot less emotionally driven.
And now
we're
into the Vulcans. We're halfway through the Vulcans. It's like, I don't know. I don't really like these Vulcans. So
it's kind of the opposite. Are we
getting to the point that you like the Klingons better than the Vulcans?
I think so. I don't know. We'll keep going with it. We'll see. But right now, they just seem like emotionally stunted calculators.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing...
You sound like Dr. McCoy.
Well, the only thing they're good for is, like, coming up with, like, exact things. Like, I don't know. They're really good at their job, whatever it is. But when they're making decisions, they're just not sound decisions.
And saying statistics. For some reason.
Never tell me the odds.
I calculate our odds to be 1 to 17,446. No, he always says it backwards, doesn't he? 17,446 to 1.
This was, and the reason this episode exists is because Spock was by far the most popular character from the first season. So the first season, Spock mania gripped America. Well, not really. There would have been more than 3 seasons. But for the people who are watching the show, Spock was the standout character. And so they wanted to explore his background.
Do you feel like Spock was popular because of, like, nerd culture? Or do you think that Spock was popular more in the same way that, like, Abed is popular in Community, where he's just awkward and weird, and there's a certain group of people that, like, connect with that?
Obviously it's a little bit of both, but I think you're right. I think there's some of the Abed in there where
I think it kind of feel that it's the same.
What's fascinating, I'll say with an arched eyebrow, is that I feel like a lot of nerd culture in America was created and developed because of the show and the time it hit and that character Spock. So it's hard to separate, because before that, I mean, there was plenty of science fiction stuff and people loved their sci-fi movies and whatever, mm-hmm. but I think Star Trek really did start pulling the fans together into Community. You know, the first conventions and that kind of thing were Star Trek conventions. And that's why they were called Star Trek conventions, and they later developed into sci-fi conventions.
Mm-hmm.
But, so that's hard to say, because, yeah, I think a lot of people connected with Spock.
Yeah.
Because there'd never been another character that was sort of like them, who was, you know, smarter than everyone around them.
It's basically everyone's dream in life is they want to be the smartest person in the room. Right. And they come up with a character who is just the smartest person in the room, every room he walks into.
And everyone accepts it. No one is trying to challenge him. I mean, Kern,
except
McCoy
sometimes.
Well.
In his own way.
And I think this is also around the same time where we're working on our own space program and everything.
Absolutely.
And so it kind of gave people, like, something to aspire to. It's like, oh, yeah, I want to be like him. I want to be...
Right, and then, you know, Kennedy's America that he described, it was, you know, technological advancements going to the moon by the end of the decade, and, you know, so we were primed for creating tons of sci-fi nerds. Other sci-fi shows that I think inspired Star Trek, led to Star Trek, would be like The Outer Limits was huge for science fiction. Twilight Zone wasn't so much science fiction as thriller kind of stuff. Outer Limits is straight up sci-fi. It was sci-fi Twilight Zone.
Well, I think another thing is, a lot of the sci-fi up until this point, it was all movies. It was, like, most of the stuff that when you got, like, a sci-fi, you know, it was, like, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and, like, Metropolis, and I'm just naming black and white movies now, right? But having it, like, episodic is just so, it's so cool,
right? It feels like you're a part of the crew.
Right, versus, like, watching a movie, and it's like, oh, I see this contained thing, and then it's like, you know, that's it. Everyone saw that.
Which is so interesting because it's almost like it was... Because it wasn't a new form of storytelling. They had done that with radio and with tons of Westerns. I mean, all those old Westerns were the same way where you kind of felt like you lived on Big
in Bonanza.
Or lived in Bonanza, right? Which, oddly enough, I did. The street I lived on was Bonanza Circle. The name of the subdivision was Ponderosa Country, which Ponderosa was the name of the Cartwright Ranch. So it was named after the Cartwrights and Bonanza.
That's awesome.
All the neighborhoods in
we need to go there and take a picture of the street sign so we can post it on Instagram.
All of the neighborhoods where I grew up were built in like the early 70s, and all of them are named after different places in TV westerns. There's High Chaparral, there's Shiloh. Yeah, so is there?
That is so weird. That's the kind of thing we would do if we made a town.
Right, and
this is Rigel One.
So is there any wonder that I ended up being like serious, you know, into TV and stuff? I literally grew up on Bonanza Circle.
That's
I
had awesome.
To tell. All right, so back to the episode. I think we.
Yep.
They start fighting. Dun, 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 completely unfair, Kirk right? Spock. Because Spock's like a billion times stronger than
Kirk. The important part of this fight scene is immediately Kirk gets his shirt ripped in half.
Right, so we can see his bear-shaped chest.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's another thing that might seem like progressive. It's like, wow, he had a shaved chest. That's progressive. But that was actual rules. You couldn't have a hairy chest on television. So
really?
Anytime there was a bear chest on TV back then, it was shaved.
Really?
Yep.
I'd like to think now. I mean, I didn't really notice. Mm-hmm. But I think now that he shaved just like right there. He's got a hole right around his nipples.
This is
right?
All I'm getting rid of. Yeah. This is so embarrassing.
They fight, Spock kills Kirk. Cause
so about halfway through, McCoy's like, hey, he's getting his ass whooped.
So this was crazy that he's basically saying, this is unfair. Spock can breathe on this planet. Kirk can't. Can I inject him with like space steroids to give him a fighting chance here? And she's like, yeah, you can inject whatever you want into him.
Doesn't yeah.
Which
like
was
that.
Bizarre.
Yeah, because it's like, I would expect it to be like, no, this is a ritual, you gotta play it out. Why didn't he take his roids before he said
that? Well, maybe that's just because T'Pau was super smart and kind of knew what was going on. Maybe she had seen all the 140 million possible conclusions of this episode, like Dr. Strange.
I was going to say, you think T'Pol is Dr. Strange.
That's what it sounds like. She has the
and
time
so
stone.
The one where it was going to work out where they both lived was if she let...
Also...
Or maybe if she had put her foot in and been like, he's a human. If you're going to have a guy fight another guy, it needs to be
I feel like
guy.
She was pleased with the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
That they satisfied the ritual, but no one ended up having to die. So much so that she called the admiral.
So it definitely
and
seemed
got him
like
off the hook.
She
for
was
going to
in the
six.
Know there a little bit,
and with all their like mind powers, I just assumed that she understood exactly what McCoy was going to do, and that if it had just been steroids, she would have said no, let it play out. When you know she knew that McCoy was going to do that, she's like,
so
go
she
do
was
it.
On the next level with all
this. I think so.
Okay. It was another she's illogical T'Pau. Moment by T'Pau. Which is, McCoy interrupted once, and she said, if you interrupt again, it's like, we're going to kill you, is essentially what she said.
Excuse me.
And then he interrupts again. It seems illogical for her not to kill him, because now she just undermined her word.
But it all worked out in the end.
It did work out in the end.
Everyone got the person they wanted. Everyone ended up where they wanted to be. Ritual was satisfied.
Okay.
Spock was no longer bitch cakes.
So, hypothetical situation. What if she had just said, like... Yeah, I don't want to go through this ritual with you. What does that do?
If T'Pring had said that?
Yeah, if she had just walked up to
apparently
Spock,
she
like,
couldn't,
because
she's property of the patriarchy, so she had limited choices. The only way she was going to have a choice of being with Sean or whatever his name was.
Spock would have to marry Sean. That's what would happen if she said that.
Was
Well, I guess, do you think... Spock would have died. Is
oh,
that what
if
they,
he couldn't have...
If he couldn't...
Like
if she just didn't show up. Let's say she just didn't show up there at Stonehenge.
Yeah.
Does Spock die?
It sounded like he was going to die and he needed to do the ritual to not die. I'm just not really sure. Like, so did it have to happen? I wasn't real clear. Because it seemed like... So
they would have figured out a way.
So there happened that exchange where she's like, yeah, here is the master plan. And then Spock's like, oh, so logical. But it seems like the logical thing would have been like to her to walk up and be like, I don't really want to do this. And Spock would be like, okay. right?
But apparently they couldn't do that.
So here's what it actually was, right?
Because he would die.
Sarek put like a logic bomb in his head. that basically said, in like 45 years, you have to come here or you just die. So he just had to go there and be there, and then afterwards, because apparently he didn't have to do anything. He just had to.
He had to fight.
He just had to wrestle a shirtless Kirk for a little bit, and then he was good.
He had to get that adrenaline out in that fight. Sort of like the spores. He had to have that strongest of emotions of, like, killing his captain to break the curse.
He also didn't seem very emotionally taxed by that.
Nope.
He's Vulcan. But yeah, it was like, now I'm in command. And then he's like, all right, I would appreciate you doing this and beat me up.
There was one scene, this is earlier, because you're talking about, like, maybe you just have to, like, get that adrenaline out and do all that stuff. There was a scene earlier where him and Nurse Chapel have a really weird interaction in his room.
Like, your face is wet.
Just the way that worked out made me think, it's like, oh yeah, you should come back later. And then they just skip forward to when they're on Vulcan.
Mm-hmm. And they never readdress that.
Also,
they kick her out of the room at the end when they want to talk about it. Yeah,
and I was mad too, because he never got his soup.
He never got his soup.
He might have gotten the soup later, because there's a couple of days, it was 2.8 light days.
Yeah, so she probably brought the soup back.
And then they did
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Okay, yeah. So she brought the soup back, and then they did it, and that fixed his amok time.
But they also...
And the rest of it was just for show.
They also made the point where when they go up, and he does the weird, like, oh yeah, I am yours, you are mine, like, speech. She was on the bridge for that as well, and she looked devastated in that scene. So I'm almost like, is that a situation where she's like, oh, I finally got together with Spock. We're together now. It's like, oh.
I feel like there's a missing scene.
You're married.
And then Yara's not making it any better. Oh, she's lovely, Mr. Spock. Nurse Chapel is seething.
So he could have already been done with the Amok time, and then he's just reacting the way he thinks he's supposed to.
Yeah, I like that.
With his hands up to his face. And
you heard it here first. There's a lost scene, guys.
I would go there with you. I would say, yeah, I can go there if it had been Kirk that had fake killed Spock.
Okay.
But I don't think Spock would go along with it and kill Kirk thinking he's actually killing Kirk.
That's fair.
Unless he was in cahoots with McCoy and knew that was going to happen and everything.
So there was...
But based on his reaction when he sees Kirk later on the ship, that's like one of the few times
he's
ever
smiled. So it did seem like he, before McCoy jumped in at the end when he was strangling Kirk, that Spock was like, he realized what was doing and he stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But McCoy jumped in afterwards and was like, hey, you don't have to do this anymore. But it seemed like he had already stopped at that
point. I feel like in the fight scene, Spock was in it to win it.
So
he wasn't just going through.
You think maybe a mock time is when he realized that he's supposed to be with Jim instead?
Maybe so.
And then he realized then he's going to have another mock time, another...
They're forever together. Well,
Pong Far, but he has to do it with Kirk in
they're
like
They're
not going to
brain meld, so it's...
Off topic a little bit, because this thought just occurred to me. Every single show and movie right now, they should have random people swooshing into nothing after Infinity War. So
yeah.
Watch Days of Our Lives and Roman goes
just randomly like, whoa, this guy. So that'd be the greatest way for like movie executives to get rid of like the bad people that are in contracts still.
Yes.
So
we call this the Infinity Contract. There's at any time we can just dissolve you into nothing.
Okay, first of all, spoiler alert.
Don't listen to me.
I do think that would be awesome. I think that would be great.
I feel like they're certainly going to do that on the Marvel TV
and
shows.
If you want that, there are billions of memes online about if someone you want disappeared, you can go see that.
The most heartbreaking meme based on that I saw was Wash from Firefly. He's going away. And
was that after he had the spear in him?
He's like, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
And then he's fading away like a leaf on the wind. It's still too soon. So
they get back on the ship. For whatever reason, Spock goes to sick bay, I guess.
He went to McCoy.
McCoy is the only one who like impaled him or something.
Yeah.
Or is that just because he and McCoy are friends?
I think it's because they're friends.
I think it's also because he had to go see Kirk's body because he murdered Kirk.
Also, Jessica picked up on, like, McCoy and Spock are low-key best friends, but they don't want to admit it to each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's just, absolutely true.
Just from like, the little bit of the episode that she saw, she was just like, oh, yeah, that's definitely true.
They're both
insufferable,
and they are the only ones for each other.
Yep.
Okay.
Unless you want to use the Infinity Contract and just, like, make a couple of them disappear.
Gosh, if you could just, like, pick one character off of every show to have Thanos'd. Could easily do that.
It'd have to be half of them.
I could do that too. I love the CW DC shows, but about half the cast I could get rid of because they're just terrible.
What if you did it like a crowdsource thing?
So if you're talking about like just raw resources, shouldn't you say anyone over like 6'1" just gone, right?
Yeah, we just take up so much space.
up more space.
Actually, I don't at all. One of my favorite subreddits is...
What if you do, like, 30 or over?
30 or
that's
over?
That's
actually a good one. I like that. Let's get rid of everyone who is not a millennial or younger.
One of my favorite subreddits is just r/tall.
Yeah.
For tall people.
That's a thing.
It is. Yeah, because it is. We have our... Yeah, it's a different life we
listen,
lead.
You don't
so
know the struggles.
If I have never heard of this Reddit before, but if I had to guess what it is, it's just tall people complaining about the tops of refrigerators.
There's a lot of that.
That's the only thing that I think is different about your life.
Mirrors that are mounted too low.
So
that's another one.
That's not a thing.
I think there might be a problem for you specifically, Lance, because you're tall to the average person, but on our tall, you're a short man. I can basically guarantee that.
Well, yeah, because
they're all like 6'8".
Yeah, 6'8" and up for the men, and 6'2" and up for the women.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's mainly just complaining about things like airplane seats.
So... Who's the tallest person on Star Trek?
Saru?
Okay.
I don't know.
I figured that would be a subject on the tall Reddit.
Probably like a Klingon. One of the Klingons. I guess some tall Klingons.
So Saru's actually
probably
really
good. If you're talking guest stars, there's plenty. All right, so let's wrap it up.
Thanks for listening, listeners.
Kapla.
Kapla.
Kapla, listeners.
So if you'd like to contact us with questions, comments, cuss words, discoveringstartrek@gmail.com is the email. You can find us at Disco Star Trek on Instagram and or Twitter. You can comment on our podcast on whatever podcasting app you prefer to use. Or you can scream into the wind and maybe we'll hear it.
You should send us an email, discoveringstartrek@gmail.com, and tell us whether you like Vulcans or Klingons more.
Who are the heroes?
Why.
Who are the heroes, the Klingons or the Vulcans?
The more we get into this, the more I hate Vulcans.
Yeah,
mostly
so
it's because
Vulcans
I just feel like I've been
suck.
Lied to.
That they were all honorable? And...
Well, no, it's just like that they were logical, but almost everything I keep seeing is just illogical decisions.
Well, that's the only way to tell a story about a Vulcan is when they're acting...
When they do dumb things?
When they're acting opposite to what... Because if they're always logical, then that doesn't lead to good storytelling. So you have to tell stories about them being illogical because that's interesting because they're always logical.
So I think it does, though. So you can have like a kind of like what they did in... Mud's Women, but I Mud kind of thing, where it's like they go to Vulcan and the society's super logical, and you put a human in it, and it's like, why are you doing that? Why are you drinking your coffee standing facing east when you should be standing facing west? And that just like collapses their whole society. Like, you could tell a really cool story like that.
They did a lot of good work with Data, and it wasn't every single story him acting like he wasn't an android.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, you can do that. They found ways to use Data, but it seems like all the big Spock episodes are ones where Spock, like Spores,
so you're right,
are ones where Spock is acting antithetical to his Vulcan upbringing.
But I agree with you, Lance. Data was a better executed Spock.
Is it better Vulcan?
That's a good
Vulcan
argument.
Than Spock will ever be.
I would be willing to debate that.
I think so. I would defend that in front of a few dedicated Star Trek fans. Maybe not more than like two.
But, you know, we still have a ways to go on our Vulcan trip. So what we're going to watch next week, what we're going to watch and talk about next week is Journey to Babel, which I know James has already seen.
Babelfish.
But we're also adding, and this is the only time we're having two episodes in 1 week that aren't a two-parter or a three-parter, we're also adding an animated series episode called Yesteryear. So, Journey to Babel is original series, season 2, episode 10. Yesteryear is the animated series, season 1, episode 2. Really, you can watch them in either order. It doesn't matter because they don't relate directly to each other. And then we'll have one more week of Vulcans and we can make your final determination on the Vulcans before we get into our big two-week season finale.
I'm ready.
So that's Journey to Babel and Yesteryear. Kapla listeners, thank you for joining us, and I think that's it.
That really wasn't a trap. We were wrong.
There was no trap. Oh, the trap is the Vulcans are great. That's the trap.
No, that's the trick. It's the lie.
You guys have almost convinced me.
They're not great or they are great?
That they're not. you've almost convinced me that Klingons are better than Vulcans.
So, I think here's what the problem, and I also think the Spock mania is probably the exact same thing as, who's the guy from Big Bang that's resolved?
Sheldon?
Sheldon, yeah. It's like that, where everyone's like, oh, he's so smart. He's emotionally...